Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. Today I have a very special guest. Her name is Ashley. Ashley Lawrence is all the way from South Africa, and she is a licensed mental wellness counselor. And we are going to talk a lot about stress, a lot about burnout, a lot about anxiety and nausea. So you want to tune in, coming right up. All right. Well, welcome to the Mental Health Today Show. My name is John Cordray. I'm a licensed therapist and I am the host of the show. And Ashley is with me today. She's coming from South Africa. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. And I just really appreciate you tuning in all the way from South Africa. And I cannot wait to get into this episode because you bring a wealth of knowledge and experience and even personal experience about this. And So speaking of personal experience, can we get right in? I want to know a little bit more about you and your personal backstory, and maybe even why did you even get into becoming a therapist yourself?
Isn't that the famous question that everyone wants to know about therapists? So no, again, thank you so much for having me today again. And, you know, I saw the topic pop up, and it's really something, you know, that resonates with me. You know, I got into the mental health field purely through my own journey. As I was a student studying humanities degree, I was going through my own mental health struggles. I met a fantastic therapist who I still work with to this day, many, many years later. And it was such a life transforming experience for me that I decided that this is the career for me. And, you know, the personal healing and growth I've had because of therapy in this space has just, really just made me so passionate about being a counselor and being in the space. And so that's how we find ourselves here today.
Yeah, that's great. And I really do appreciate you being willing to come on the show and talk about this topic. It's so prevalent. I know you and I were talking right before we came on to record. You're seeing a lot of this in South Africa, and I'm seeing a lot of this in the U.S., and that's stress and burnout. So I really wanted to talk about this subject in this episode because it's so prevalent in the U.S., the burnout and stress. Lots of people who are not wanting to go to work and out with life. They have a lot of anxiety. They wake up with nausea. And it's something that's affecting them tremendously. And I know you said a lot of people are feeling that way in the South Africa as well.
Yeah, it's really become this pandemic in and of itself, the burnout, the level of anxiety and stress that people have. It creeps up on you without realizing, right? We live in such a fast-paced, instant gratification, hustle culture, you know, and we're just going. And that's what our worth is measured off a lot of the time. And we really are neglecting so many other aspects of our lives. And I believe that this is leading to these massive amounts of stress and anxiety. And it was a personal experience of mine working a very high pressure job, clocking 13, 14 hours a day behind a laptop, you know, not eating properly, not, you know, nurturing other areas of my life. And what I had experienced because of that was just, it was, you know, completely physically debilitating. So when we talk about the nausea, it just brings me back to those times where, you wake up in the morning and that's all you feel. You're dry heaving, you can't get food down. Maybe toward the end of the day, the appetite sort of comes up. And that becomes, you know, a big sign that something's not right in your life. Something's out of balance.
That's right. And what you mentioned about how your body will tell you that something's up, right? And our body is one of the best predictors that even though we might try to hide from our emotions, our body cannot hide and it will tell you something's up and we got to pay attention to that.
Absolutely. I think, as we were saying, you know, often when it comes to mental health, we can be so resilient in how we can push our minds. You know, we can almost convince ourselves of everything, but the body keeps score, as they say. And it's often you've probably also found this, John, you know, throughout your work is that often clients will start therapy because they've started having some kind of physical symptoms. And they'll go see a medical professional and they'll say, well, this is actually psychologically related. And that's when we tend to take steps, but the interconnectedness is still something that we really need to all wrap our heads around, that they're not separate things.
That's right. They are one. And a lot of the doctors that I've talked to will say that our gut is a second brain. And there is a connection from our brain to our gut. And it is research based. And we know that our emotions that we have can have physical problems with our body, whether it's a headache or a rapid heart rate or feeling nausea.
Yep, absolutely.
So, Ashley, you said that you were experiencing this as well, in the mornings especially. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about what helped you when you were feeling that way? The anxiety and the nausea. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you learned to help get through that time?
Yeah. You know, it's one thing when you read all of these things in a textbook and, you know, you've got the steps or you read it, you know, online, but once you're actually in it, it's a whole different experience, you know. And luckily I had, you know, some tools, you know, just by chance of going through this, you know, experience of studying and being a therapist. But, you know, I found the one thing that would really help me in those moments would be to bring my attention to the present moment, right? Because anxiety is like the self growing, you know, cycle that the more anxious we get, the more anxious we get and the more nauseous we get. So we want to try and kind of interject. So, you know, if you're waking up and usually your anxiety is highest in the mornings because you've got cortisol waking you up from your slumber. So you've already got these elevated, you know, levels of stress. Now you're possibly burnt out, you've got a stressful day ahead, and that's your first thoughts that are going through your mind. So we can get ourselves worked up within 10 minutes, 5 minutes of waking up. And that's what would sort of happen to me. So what I started doing is bringing my attention to the present moment, focusing on each moment as I was going through my morning. I'm not working yet. I'm not having to deal with this yet. And really just coming to that present moment, and generally using breath work to do that. So sometimes I would just lie on my bed with my arms open and take deep breaths and just remind myself, I'm safe. I'm okay. I can only do as much as I can do in one day. And usually that would sort of help subside the vicious cycle from getting worse.
Yeah. And thank you. That's very helpful and really, I think, interesting that you mentioned that breath work. And that's one of the things that I talk to my clients as well when they're experiencing anxiety and nausea. Mm-hmm. What are some things that you can do physiologically? Breathing is definitely one of those. And sometimes people don't know exactly what is breath work. What do you mean by breathing? We breathe naturally all the time. What do you mean? So it's intentional breathing, right? It's mindful breathing. So can you tell us a little bit about what you mean by the breath work that you did?
Yeah. So I guess as simply as possible, you know, there are various different methods to doing it. But what I would do was to use the breath to bring my attention to the body, right? Because anxiety, as much as it's happening in the body is responding to the mind's thoughts. And as we say, this vicious cycle. So the breathing would be to take, you know, very, very simple breathing method of, you know, deep breaths in through the nose, hold it for a couple of seconds, and then slowly exhale. And then you just concentrate as much as you can, even if your mind wanders, you bring it back to your breath and you just keep repeating that and doing that for a couple of times. You'll find after 5-6 deep breaths like that, conscious deep breaths, you can already feel the nervous system starting to settle down, the mind starting to feel that it's safe. Because essentially what's happening when we're in such an anxious state is we're in our, you know, fight or flight mode. And we're needing to remind our bodies we're safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And that fight, flight, or even freeze.
Yes, can we've got a really, few more.
Yeah, that's right, when you add more to it, right? But sometimes, for some reason, it seems to be, at least with the clients I talk to, worse in the morning. And it's horrible because you don't want to get out of bed because you're the thought of getting up and going to work or trying to start your day, and you feel nauseous and anxious. You don't want to start your day. You just want to stay in bed and pull the covers over your head.
Yeah.
So breath work, that's one of them. And what about eating or drinking certain things? Because I know people who are nauseous, they tend to avoid those things because they don't want to make their stomach worse.
Yes.
So were there something that you ate? Was there something that you ate or you drank that helped?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as you say, again, all of these things have this knock-on effect, right? The less food we have in our system, also our blood sugar levels are affected, all of these things, the more anxious we become. And what do most of us do first thing in the morning is have a cup of coffee, right? Which is loaded with caffeine or sugar. And then, so you've got your cortisol, you've got your hectic day, you're nauseous, and then you're pumping coffee in your system. So we're already setting our day up, you know, not in the greatest way. So I would, you know, recommend if you're really struggling to get like solid foods down, before we maybe move on to that, is fatty foods are great, right? They're good to ground the blood sugar levels and things like that. So what I would sometimes do is even just have a small piece of cheese, just a tiny like little block of cheese in the morning. I believe in America it's called beef jerky. Here we call it biltong. Something, you know, protein rich. But there were even at times where chewing can actually just make you even more nauseous. So things like protein smoothies, something that you can just sort of drink down, or some kinds of very light herbal teas. Thyme tea is known to be amazing. We've got something called rooibos tea here. So something light, but also, so if you can get something to drink down, something like that, if you can get something in your stomach, something fatty like a yogurt, a smoothie, and then, to try and get something fatty in your stomach can just help with the blood sugar levels and overall the other physical symptoms.
Well, that's great. And so those are things that you want to try to eat and drink. Are there certain foods or drinks that we should avoid when we're feeling anxious and nauseous?
Yes. And I think I might be very unpopular saying this, but coffee is certainly one of them. Unfortunately, the caffeine does spike, our cortisol levels, adrenaline levels. And if we're really anxious, it can just make everything worse. So especially on an empty stomach, I really would avoid caffeine in these types of days. Anything that's, you know, really refined sugars that's going to give you this big spike and then drop, because the body's already under stress. So we want to be avoiding, you know, in general, things that we know to be not the healthiest for us. So that would be my thoughts. It's just try to keep it as clean as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell my clients to avoid spicy food or highly greasy, fatty foods as well are not healthy, not good for your nauseous stomach. Well, those are great tips. I have just a lot of people who are really struggling with the anxiety and nauseous, and so many people feel like they're the only one. They feel like there's something wrong with them and nobody else can understand. They feel like they're totally alone and by themselves. But what is your experience? Is that the case, that there's only a few people that struggle with anxiety and nausea?
I wish it were the case, but unfortunately it's not. Yeah, it's almost, it often goes so hand in hand. Of course, the spectrum of anxiety and how that's manifesting and when we get nausea may be different. Of course, you know, some people may be struggling with things like a panic attack and they would have the nausea during that, but otherwise not. Then, you know, when we look at, you know, accompanying, you know, things like burnout, there's the nausea. So I tend to find when we more have this chronic ongoing stress, that is when we tend to see this regular nausea. You know, look, if we're writing an exam or running a race and we have a little bit of nausea before that, that's okay. That's proportional. You know, what's happening in the body is, you know, your body is essentially preparing, you know, for this task. But if there's no task and we're constantly, you know, activated like this, then yeah, we've got to take a look at it. So unfortunately, the more and more we see, you know, the burnout rates increasing, people overworking, people not spending enough time with their families or eating correctly, exercising, and just actually relaxing, it really has become a major problem. And a lot of people are feeling this way when they wake up in the morning. And, you know, it's no way to live to dread the day.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And there are just thousands and thousands and thousands of people who suffer, and a lot that are listening to this episode that really experience the anxiety and nausea. And I think that the chronic stress that you mentioned is so key to this. Mm-hmm. I've had people say that they have suffered with this for years and years and years. It's not just temporary, but it's something that they've struggled with for a long time. Maybe it's even irritable bowel syndrome, and maybe they actually have a medical condition with it as well. But there's also people who are just starting this journey, and maybe they are overworked and burnt out with their job, and they're trying to juggle all the hours at work and trying to juggle getting their kids to all the different places that they need to go to, and just trying to find that work-life balance is just difficult sometimes. Yeah. And so that chronic stress can lead into chronic anxiety and nausea. Yes. What would be something, Ashley, that you can talk to my client or my listeners to share some encouragement for those who are experiencing this and have been experiencing this for a long time?
Sure. Yeah. You know, it's we need to listen to our bodies at the end of the day, right? If we are chronically stressed, if we are waking up month after month unhappy, we can't eat, we can't sleep, we're having all these physical symptoms, you know, these are messengers to us, right? And we often don't listen to what our body is telling us. We don't listen to that intuition saying something is out of balance, something is not right. You know, the general state for us human beings to be in is not necessarily an elevated state all the time, but it's also not feeling so low and so, you know, stressed and anxious all the time. We want to be in the sort of, you know, kind of happy medium where we can go about our life, we deal with challenges. So, you know, firstly, like if this is something that you're experiencing, you know, you don't just have to go through it, right? It's not that you're weak. It's not that, you know, you're just not strong enough to handle the stress. People don't generally talk about what they're going through. We all just put on a brave face. And so to know that, you know, if your life is not feeling good, if there's things in your life that are too much, it is okay to take that off your plate. It is okay to take a step back and reevaluate what are my values in life? How many resources do I have? You know, what boundaries do I need to put in place? Because, you know, I only have so much to give. I have only so much internal resources, and how am I restoring those? So, you know, no one has to be stuck in that place. We don't have to just deal with it. You know, there are steps that we can take, whether you, you know, need to change certain things about your lifestyle, get rid of certain things. And if you're not sure where to start, you know, always a good place is chatting to, you know, a therapist or a coach or someone that can maybe just from the outside perspective go, hey, like, you've got a lot on your plate. Because we don't always realize actually how much pressure we put on ourselves.
That is key. And I think what you just said is a really important thing, is that we don't realize sometimes how much we put on our own plate. And we need to talk about boundaries here. And and I call them internal boundaries as well. Boundaries for yourself. And if we don't have boundaries, if we're not used to practicing setting boundaries, we're going to say yes to a lot of things.
Yes.
And if you say yes to a lot of things at work and you're trying to say yes to all the demands in your personal life, and now you're saying yes, 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 and you're being pulled in all these different directions, but you're not saying yes to yourself. You're saying no to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you're mentioning here. When we allow that to happen in our lives, we're not giving ourselves a break. And so that's where our body keeps the score, right? So our body is telling us something's up. You've got to take a break or else it's going to force you to take a break.
Yeah. Listen to me, please. Something's wrong. Yeah.
Exactly. So it sounds like you're saying that there is a very integral connection between the amount of stress that we have in our lives to the anxiety and the nausea that we have as well that we're experiencing. Yes. So there's a connection there. So we talked about some strategies of breathing, some breath work. We talked about some things that are good to eat and drink and some foods and drinks to avoid. But then we're also talking about stress and self-care. What are some things for self-care first of all, tell us what self-care is. I think a lot of us think, well, it's just going to a spa,
getting
a massage. Yeah, exactly. But what are some other types of self-care that you would recommend for someone that's burnout and just overworked, overburdened, and overwhelmed?
Look, I think, you know, they can be, as you said, the classic self-care types of things that we can do, relaxation, time out. But I think you touched on a really good point that I think we can unpack. And that is that I liked how you phrased it, those internal boundaries. That is the best way that we can care for ourselves, is starting to tune in to our bodies, our minds, our emotions, and really being able to say no to things when we know we don't feel up to it, when we know that tonight I really actually just need to rest and watch a movie. But, you know, maybe the parents say, you know, we want to go for a dinner. So it's taking little moments out of your day to put those boundaries in place and to relax as well, and have that space for yourself just to decompress and just to re-regulate your system. So I think that would be my biggest tip, is take time to essentially have time to rest for yourself, to re-regulate that system and rebuild those resources. So saying no to things, having time to yourself, and doing something that you enjoy are all self-care activities. And, you know, relaxation is 100% necessary for performance. So I would really, really start by saying, work on those boundaries, work on being able to communicate those boundaries to others, but setting them for yourself and knowing that you deserve to also have space for yourself in your life.
I love that. And sometimes we have to give ourselves permission.
Absolutely.
To give ourselves permission to do nothing. Because we're so programmed in so many ways that we have to be productive, always on, all the time. And that's part of the problem here.
Yes.
And so giving ourselves permission to say, you know what, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to unplug. I'm just going to watch my favorite show, watch a movie. I'm going to eat a chocolate chip cookie and say yes to myself for once. And just giving yourself permission to be able to relax and say no to others. It's okay to say no. It's not wrong. You're not a bad person for saying no, that you can't do that. But learning to recognize what your body is telling us, just mm-hmm. like you said, and being okay with saying no or yeah. saying yes to yourself.
Yes.
That is a yes. key here. It all connects together, doesn't it, Ashley? Where we're talking about stress, our mind, our anxiety, the how we're feeling in our gut, the nausea. It's all connected. And we yeah. have to be in tune with our body. And when something is off, whether it, maybe it's just anxiety, or maybe it's just nausea, or maybe it's just burnout, and maybe it's mm-hmm. brain fog, right? So listen to your body mm-hmm. and ask yourself, what am I doing to set this trigger off, this alarm yes. bell off? What am I doing, and how do I cut back on that? So I think what you said and mentioned there yeah. is absolutely important.
Yeah, no, and well, I love like you saying, recognize. Yeah. Sorry, John.
Oh, no, go right ahead. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
No, I just said, I love what you say about recognizing those triggers, right? Because a lot of the times we aren't aware of what's causing these things. And so identifying when the anxiety comes up, when the nausea, is it when you have a specific meeting with a specific person? You know, you want to identify those trends, because then with that knowledge, it gives us an indication of what like that root causes. And then we can kind of work backwards from that and go, okay, this is, you know, where it's stemming from, and we can take action. So again, self-awareness, like you said, of the mind and body is really key to living a life that feels good. And in general, when we're living in, you know, accordance with our values, with our purpose, with what makes us happy, we're going to feel good. So if we're feeling miserable 99% of the time, we do need to take a look at what we've maybe been ignoring within our lives and in our whole ecosystem that makes us, you know, our health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a really good reminder that we need to pay more attention to our busy schedules. We need to pay yes. attention to our relationships. And you mentioned this earlier, the priorities mm-hmm. in our life is our family. Mm-hmm. And when we're so busy doing everything else and doing all the tasks and all the different responsibilities, we sometimes lose sight of that. And yeah. maybe it's your body telling you, you got to step back. You got to think through, reevaluate, mm-hmm. and figure out what is the most priority in your life. And so if you're Absolutely. Feeling nauseous, if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed and burnt out, if you're feeling the anxiety, listen to it.
Yeah.
And our first response is, I want to get better. I don't want to feel mm-hmm. like this. Mm-hmm. But if mm-hmm. we can train ourselves to just say, I'm going to listen here. I'm going to sit back and say, okay, I'm feeling this way for a reason. And to be able to realize that you can learn from it. We spend so much time thinking and wanting the pain to go away. Mm-hmm. We don't really spend a lot of time trying to learn it and learn from it. And really what I mean by that is trying to think through your life. Are you eating well? Are you sleeping well? Are you taking breaks? You know, everything that we talked about. And if you're not, then there's probably going to be something that you're going to be aware of. So, oh, yeah. So maybe yeah. that's what I need to work on.
Yeah.
So, Ashley, I think this has been such an encouraging episode. And I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your personal story with this, but also your professional story and your expertise. Because I know a lot of my listeners and my audience, whether it's on through the podcast or through YouTube, they are really desiring to learn what they can do to
yeah.
work on themselves. And so many people, as we mentioned already, are stressed and burnt out mm-hmm. and overwhelmed mm-hmm. with so much. So can you give us a final encouragement? Because some people think, this is going to last forever. I'm going to feel like this forever. And they catastrophize about, you know, yeah. their future. What would be something that just a last encouraging remark with those who are thinking, I'm never going to feel better?
Yeah. I guess I would say is to remember that you are always in control of your life. You are always in control of the decisions that you make. You are in control what you take out, what you bring in. And if you are not happy in your life, you have the agency to change it. And if you don't know where to start, you know, there's resources out there, you know, shows like this, you know, people, therapists, professionals that can help you get on that track. But life is meant to feel good. It's meant to be a lovely journey with its ups and downs. But you don't have to be stuck in that place. And you are in control of making those changes, even if it feels scary or impossible, or you don't know where to turn. If this is not feeling good for you and it's making you unwell, it's okay to start asking questions about what needs to change. And then what flows from there can always be quite interesting. But it's okay to not be happy in that space. And it's okay to change what you need to change. And you're in control. Sometimes we may not feel like it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And we want to validate feelings, or how you're feeling. If you're feeling really down and hopeless and feel like you're never going to get better, we want to validate that. That's real. But we also want to challenge the thoughts. And if your thoughts maybe are catastrophizing, or maybe you're overthinking and ruminating on negative thoughts, maybe it's the thoughts that are influencing how you feel. We validate that, and we want to encourage you. If you are struggling with anxiety and nausea, or maybe you have a loved one and you just don't know what to do, let them listen to this episode. Let them watch the episode on YouTube. And I want this to be an encouraging to you, because somebody you know, the statistics we know of who suffers from this is pretty large. So the odds of you knowing somebody in your sphere of relationships probably is feeling this way. And so maybe you can help them and encourage them by this episode. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in to the Mental Health Today show. I really appreciate you. You can watch this, by the way, on my YouTube channel. You just go to youtube.com/JohnCordray. You can watch it or listen to it on YouTube or any podcast app. You can listen to it. I appreciate you and continue to work on your mental health. Thanks, friends. Take care. Until next time, keep working on you.